Kedoshim to you. Have a prushim in our rayos min ha'avera. It begins as usually does by calling Rashi. What does it mean to be kadosh? Kedoshim is full of parshas. Kedoshim within a couple of sukkim gets into the chance to talk about it a little bit Thursday night. Gets into a incredibly wide array of mitzvahs, one after another on Dasha, a holy tidal wave of every type of mitzvah you can think of. Havel el makom, zrav and kachim and ezikin and everything comes at you. But the opening psukim are general, big picture, kedoshim to you. But then you wonder, well, what does that mean? So I can define what it means to someone. If I hired someone, I have to pay him by a certain time. If we can define what losikim losita means, we can define what mora hikdash means or what mora avei means. But the details in kedoshim we can define. But the big picture pasuk, the headliner pasuk of kedoshim q, what does it mean to be holy? Rashi says that bupushim and arayos min avera, you have to step away from arayos in particular and avera in general. If a person, any place where there is a healthy boundaries to separate a person from inappropriate sexual activity or inappropriate engagement with arayos, that's going to be a place of kedusha. Lashon Rashi. So Rashi says kedushim tiyu means a healthy amount of space, appropriate gedarim, not excessive, but appropriate gedarim to avoid falling into arayos. Ala b'toras konim re'isi stam. He says that's what Rashi quotes. However, that's not the universal approach. That's certainly the way many people would think. The kedusha Torah, kedusha the tahara, is often used as a euphemism for specifically avoiding arayos. He says, but that can't be the only approach in Chazal. Because listen to the following sifra, the following Torah's konim on this pasuk. B'toras kohanim re'isi stam, prushim to you. Just says you should be prushim. Nothing about arayos in particular. You should separate yourself from what? Sounds like it's more general. So what does it mean? Chen shanusham. If another such medrash, the his kadishna v'yisam kadoshim ki kadosh ani, you should be kadosh. Because I am kadosh. Just like I'm kadosh, you should be kadosh. In other words, what mitzvah is being invoked in the world of kedusha? They're saying that that's one of the aspects of Rosh Hashanah, that he's kadosh. One of the aspects of Rosh Hashanah is that he's a parosh. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a degree of separation from Olam Hazeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves separation from Olam Hazeh. So we also have a mitzvah to be prushim. So he says, this sounds like this is something different than Rashi. Now I should tell you before we go on, there's a third approach which we'll come to as well. Reb Shimon Shkop, in the introduction, his introduction to Shara Yosher. Reb Shimon Shkop, one of the great Talmidim or Talmidim Chaveim of Reb Chaim Brisker, in the early 20th century, so he wrote a sefer on Kol El Sugyas Hashas called Shara Yosher, along the lines of the Sos's Shev Shmaitzeh. Sos wrote a sefer in the late 1700s, early 1800s, called Shev Shmaitzeh. I'm sure you've heard of it. Supposedly, he wrote it. There's seven parts of it, so it's called Shev Shmaitzeh. That's Aramaic for Shev Hashmuros, a very modest name for an extraordinary sefer. The story has it, I don't know if it's true or not, that the Sos wrote it seven Shmuos, one each day of Shavuot Brachos, as a present for his wife, or for his father-in-law. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but to sit down over the course of Shavuot Brachos and write that sefer, or for that matter, to sit down over the course of another week or another year and write that sefer, it's phenomenal. It's all about Torah Sasfekas. How does halacha deal with doubt? Rove and chazaka and edus and migo and so on and so forth. Fascinating, gorgeous sugyas all over Shas. It's no one mesechta. Maybe a lot in ksubas, particularly the second parak, but it's all over. To write that type of sefer is extraordinary. And then Reb Shimon wrote sort of a parallel sefer, almost also seven sha'arim on a lot of the same topics called Shari Yosha. There's a family connection because my mother-in-law's father, Yishaya Shapiro, was a young man at the time, and apparently he was hired by Reb Shimon to write the sefer. Now, the Torah is Reb Shimon's, but he had a gift for, Yishaya Shapiro had a gift for writing, so apparently he hired him to write it. So the deal was that he had a private chavrus with Reb Shimon, and they would basically learn a parak at a time, and then he would write it up and give it to Reb Shimon, he would edit it, and then they would learn the next parak, and then he would write it up, and then so on and so forth. Apparently at the Shiva for Yishaya Shapiro, someone said that it was known in yeshivas in Europe, like people said, like they wish that Reb Baruch Ber would have hired him also. And then we all could have enjoyed Birkas Shmuel. But be that as it may, so Reb Shimon Sefer Shayosha is gewaldik. Gewaldik, even if you don't read Kant. Apparently Rostav is in town now, Rostav from Karen Vyavna. So I remember a guy told me many, many years ago that in Chugim that he would give in Shariosha, every once in a while he would say, I mean, he still does. Interesting. Reb Shimon was definitely one of the more broad-minded Rashi Yeshiva at the time. But be that as it may, Reb Shimon Sefer is gewaldic. With Kant, without Kant, gewaldic and requires an enormous amount of yedda in order to appreciate it. He had been a shtat rav before he had been a rav of a town before he became Rashi Yeshiva. So when his Sefer came out, His Baal Batim from the town where he had been a Rav, they were incredibly proud that their Rav came out with this extraordinary Sefer. But the Sefer was beyond most of them. But they wanted to have like a Sheikhus to the Rebbe. So they established a shiur in town, I don't know if it was every day, every week, to learn the Hakadama to Shari Yosha. They weren't going to learn the Sefer itself, learn the Hakadama. And the Hakadama talks about this question. What is Kedusha? It's a very, very important Hakadama. He quotes a different, not Torah's Konim, I believe a Medrash Rabbah, different Medrash. And his method is similar to Ramban, and then he says, well, look at the way this Medrash talks about Kedoshim to you. It clearly doesn't mean what others have said it means. This Medrash must have a different approach. We'll come to Shimon. Shimon is fascinating as well. Let's take a look first at the Ramban. But Torah's Konim, he says, Torah's Konim just speaks about Purushim. Torah's Konim doesn't speak about writers in particular. So where does that come from? Where does this come from? What does this mean? What is the Medrash? What is the Torah's Kodesh mean? Just Prushim. It says, I don't think, says Ramban, that his Prishas means Arayos in particular. Abaha Prishas, Yamuskar, the Kalvach of the Torah. Look at the Torah's Kodesh. There's nothing in particular about Arayos. Arayos is part of halacha, it's not the only part of halacha, is look throughout Shas, to hear Ramban say, look throughout Shas, Amuskeret b'chol v'chol v'talmud, sheba'aleha nikro and prushim, the people who have mastered this precious are called prushim, what's it all about? And b'chol, what's it all about? This is a question that was taken up several centuries later by Nisilas Hashar as well. The first three nidos in the Silas Hasharim, Zahiras, Zerizos, Makias, according to his Girsa, those first three right at the end, those first three, Ad Kan to be a Tzad. Kan Ve'elach to be a Chasim. In other words, if you can master Zahiras, Zerizos, and Makias, you're doing everything you're supposed to do. As to be a Jew, was Osa Keshuras Hadeh. And he says anything beyond that, the price goes on for another seven stages or so, all the way up to Kedusha and Ruach HaKosh Tiyazayisim, that's Gedalik, not required. The Flimishur Sadin. The first step in the Mesilas Hasharim's count of the Flimishur Sadin is precious. An added degree of stepping back from one's end. And then Mesilas Hasharim raises the question, which Ramban is going to be dealing with as well, which is, why is that like a valuable thing? Dasar. If it's Dasar, avoiding it falls under the Zahiras, Rizas, and Makias. It's Mutter. So what am I gaining by avoiding something which is okay anyway? What does that mean? And how far does it go? We're supposed to just... Does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want us to endlessly... The Rosh Hashanah want us to endlessly cover up? Let's see the problem. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to just endlessly... So the more precious, the better?
If we would be monks, we would be holier Jews. The Rambam definitely doesn't think so. The famous Rambam in the third part of the days says we reject that. The Rambam does not want, we don't value endless separation of all that. Unlike Christians and unlike certain types of Muslims, we don't see monks as the ideal spiritual person. It's not the ideal Jew. So then what's his precious? What does it mean? It's not just valuable to be as harsh as you can be. So what is this? Let's take a look here. In the little letter 7. The Ma'inyan. So what's this all about? He had Torah his hero barayos u'machal ma'asurim. The Torah said there are things which are forbidden. Some sexual activity is absolutely awesome. That's in this week's parsha. Machal ma'asurim, their food, which is absolutely awesome. That we had in Parsha Shmi. And we had a chance to talk the other week about how there's a lot of similarity in the way we think about these two things. Both are physical activities, which we share with the rest of the animal kingdom. Physical activities, which are very basic to being human, very basic to building humans, either building another human, or we are literally what we eat. Activities which are very powerful. And the two activities which are the totality of anything the Rambam talks about when he has a sefer dedicated to Kedusha. Spoke about a couple weeks ago. Sefer Kedusha doesn't have Beis HaMikdash, doesn't have Karbanos, doesn't have Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzah. It has Machalos Asuros and Isurabia. Apparently, there are areas which are powerful, could be used profoundly well, or profoundly poorly. The longest list of Karisos anywhere in Chumash is the end of Akhavos, is that right? The Torah said certain areas, certain types of engagement in food or in intimacy are absolutely awesome. The Torah said other things are absolutely mutter. Sexual activity other than wife, that's fine. Shnan Ida, that's totally mutter. To eat, you can go to ETC, and you can go to LMRA, you can have serious steak and serious wine, Goshen. Good God. In Cain, Yimtzah Baal, but given that that's the background, Yimtzah Baal HaTayba Mokum Dil Shatov Bezimas Ishto or Noshim Arabs. But this could be taken to an extreme. And a person could be overly focused on sexuality, either with his one wife or with his many wives, which is technically mutter, probably not a very good idea. Remember my belly's thing I mentioned the other week. Remember my belly's writes an article about this, or his little swarm there, a collection of little articles of different interesting offbeat topics in Gemara. He writes, he proves from several Gemaras and several other Midrashim also that bigamy was never popular. And bigamy was rarely looked upon favorably, even before Abayu Gersh, even before 1,000 years ago, it was mutter. But definitely wasn't something that Chazal encouraged. There are multiple Gemaras that assume as a given that people have only one wife. It was definitely not widely practiced. And as the Rashi or Adak points out in Rus, it was, everyone recognized it was not really very good for your Shalom Bias. When the cousin says to Boaz, well, why do I want to marry Rus? Penash Tissas Nachalasi. It's either Rashi or Adak who says, well, what's his Nachal? I'm going to destroy my Nachal. What's his Nachal? So one of them says, I'm going to destroy my Shalom Bias. I'm married. I'm happily married. I have a wife. I have kids. Why am I interested in marrying another wife? I have one wife I'm happy with. That's great. So, good idea, not a good idea, but technically mutter. The guy could be married to one wife or to ten. He could, in theory, be overly focused. Leos besode yayin besole basalamo, a classic Ramban little reference. He said you could eat, you could get totally plastered every night on kosher wine and kosher schnapps. There's a big tarom, you guys probably know about beer lately. There was no reaction. But there was a big, I got certain people sent a torrent of shilas via text about beer right after Pesach. Beer, as you know, is chametz. After Pesach, chametz is mutter, unless it was owned by a guy. So someone figured out that the beer distributor for like 15 counties around here is, I think, Manhattan Beer Company, which is owned totally by non-religious Jew or Jews. So, like, all the beer in, like, 15 different counties had been, or will have been, owned by a Jew who did not, did send them the big machlokes two different hashgacha organizations. They didn't sell the chametz. They didn't sell the chametz. They sold the chametz. It was a valid mechir. It wasn't a valid mechir. The whole back and forth. Found Rabbi Willig sometime last week and asked Rabbi Willig about it. And he said, it's usher anyways. I said, Rabbi Willig is about stuck. So I've been thinking it more gently, and maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give us the opportunity to sort of, for those people who for some bizarre reason have developed and acquired a taste for beer, there's an opportunity to sort of, you know, unhook yourself. Like, let's say you know you ought to be eating more healthy. I know I ought to not eat this, but let me say you want to. If it was, if you found that the donut was trained, right, or you realize you're fleshing, can't. Right? But it is, I shouldn't. It would be healthy to eat something else. I should, you know, better to have an apple. That's not, that doesn't sell as well. So better not to have the beers one day. But trade. But be that today, well, it's not trade. It's not trade. But I could totally overdo it. I could totally overdo my engagement in Tanug Yelamazer. I won't be wrong with that. What do you mean overdo? If it's kosher, it's kosher. Be that Berkir, son of a Paul and of Olives. I can have a filthy mouth. Shlohuska Yisra Zerba Torah. This, where is it saying the Chumash? You can't have a filthy mouth. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just talking dirty. Just words. Or the contemporary version. There are plenty of people, you know better than I, of course. No one in this room ever heard of such a thing. Maybe you have friends who know people who know someone who would never sing, you would never say, but somehow to articulate with your thumbs seems less severe than to articulate with your tongue. There might be words or jokes or innuendos I've never said, but the text, you know, whatever. I either text him, just passing it on. So Rabbi said, look, where is it saying the Chumash? Now, interesting, Rabbi. Next thing I learned in the first part of Masechet Pesachim, you have to come back to this Rabbi, because there's a sugya of evil bed in the first part of Pesachim. It's actually a heavy duty. The Rabbi David there works through the sugya of Mamish, rolls up his sleeves with lumpness, and that there are three or four different levels of evil bed. It's a lot to based on this, based on that, different afkaminas, the real sugya of Nigel. There's actually a surprise in Rabban. Rabban here says, he doesn't say anyone in the Chumash you can't speak Nigel Pev. Maybe is debatable. But let's go with his assumption. He doesn't say anyone in the Chumash you can't speak Nigel Pev. But Rabban says that doesn't mean that it's okay. Why not? It's kosher. And here's the famous line. I'm sure you've heard this line in the past. Get to see it black and white, and then we're going to see what he does with it as well. You're going to be a coarse person, but everything is technically kosher. A glot, kosher, boor. You'll be a glot, kosher, gutter person. You're living in the gutter, but everything's kosher. The food is all glot, kosher. Everything is kosher, technically. But where's the big picture? Novel, b'shus, atorah. The big of butter. Now you say, okay, what's wrong with that? But it's all kosher, so you haven't. Okay, so it's not so, you know, I'm not chassidish. You know, I'm not interested in chumras. Chumra, very nice. I don't want chumras. Everything's kosher, it's all good. And filthy mouth, filthy life, but everything's blood kosher. Says, what's wrong with that? The big of bahakasu, acharesha parata yisum sha'asar sabagari, after going through the details, the specific letter of the law, that you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, the Tzivah Medavar Klali. The Torah gives us the big picture of the spirit of the law. Sheniyah Prushim Minam Mosaros. That's not, I don't think it's just Mutaros, I think it's Mosaros. I mean, it's both. Maybe he even meant that as a play on words. But we should step away from excess. Not that we should always step away from anything, but we should step away from excess. Things have to be in proportion. Should definitely enjoy marital intimacy, but it should be in appropriate measure. You achieve kedusha in the way you engage alcohol through moderation. The nazir is called a kadosh. And he says, if in case you haven't been paying attention to your veracious, you remember that one of the first time Rambam learned this year, he talks about how he wonders what does Rashi mean that he couldn't start from veracious. There's so much to learn from his veracious. And we have to, but sometimes the messages aren't spelled out as explicitly. You have to learn the story as you're thinking about it. There's something we spoke about in the Mishmar many months ago. That it's striking that Torah, not once but twice, before we even get to Am Yisrael, already gives us two stories of the dangers of excess of alcohol. Yizkor haroos and hiskaros in the end of the Torah. We know who will look. Also, that's like even more basic than Jewish. It's part of being a tzemel kin is to be proud of your ring and to keep it in good shape and not to toss it away with alcohol. Is a surprise line about Tuma and goes on to talk about Yishmar Piyev Lushono, the Hizgael, the Ribu Achil in the fourth line, and the Dibra Nimas. You handle your mouth well. You don't over engage in eating. There it's a question of quantity. To eat well is great, but Achil Agasa, you're totally overeating, that's a problem. And the Dibra Nimas. And gross, disgusting speech. The Torah, like the pasuk says, "Hopeh dover devar." This brings a person to kedusha. And now let's understand what this is talking about. I want to skip down a couple of lines because this idea may have come across in the past. And he says again, this isn't me as chassidus. This is part of what Kadosh Baruch Hu expects of us. There's specific things which are not kosher. And then there's also the bigger picture. Rambam points out this is not the only time the Torah asks us to look at the bigger picture. And let's just use a little bit of English terminology. We're talking about the spirit of the law. The letter of the law, the spirit of the law. What Rambam is telling us, and he's about to show us there are other places where the Chumash does this as well, is if technically everything is kosher, I've avoided anything which violates the letter of the law, but I'm not capturing the spirit of the law. So that's not legit. It's not, everything was kosher, maybe it would be better otherwise. That's you're right, you haven't violated the sort of, if all the food was kosher, I haven't violated eating chazir, I haven't violated eating basar b'chal, I haven't violated eating orla, but I did violate a different thing. The mitzvah of kedoshim tivu. That's a mitzvah. That's an expectation also. The expectation that I live life in accordance with the values that the details of halacha communicate. That's a formal expectation that Baruch Hu has. Take a question in a second, but just to go, just last week we were talking about the notion of time and nekra. It was maybe 2 weeks ago. And lo darshin and time and nekra. And that any specific mitzvah we pass against from Shimon, so any particular mitzvah, the application of that, when the mitzvah applies, isn't driven by does the reason for the mitzvah apply or not. So Rabban says that's true, lo darshin and time and nekra, but the time to cry is going to tell me not about this mitzvah, but it gives me learning time to cry gives me a sense of how to finish Baruch Hu want me to live. Zeev.
So if
there are
like calculus
sorry? Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. And I would say, as we just saw with Kedoshim, we're about to see with one or two of the Ramban's other two examples of this sort of spirit of the law, to a certain extent there are things that are spelled out, even perhaps on a Doraisa level. There might also be things which are spelled out on a Ramban level. But to a certain extent, the whole point of it is it can't all be spelled out. And the whole point is it can't just be more rules than we just play by the rules. The whole point of it is, as a Jew, I'm supposed to absorb what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell me with the mitzvahs. So, for instance, an example we just had with Kedoshim, he had mentioned, in addition to sexuality and food are wonderful, they're fine and often a mitzvah, and an important part of what it means to live as a Jew, but they have to be in proper measure, proper proportion. But he mentioned something else, which he said absolutely often. Off bounds because of Kedoshim Tivu, that was Nivu Pep. And we saw just a couple lines ago, right? He sort of brought a Riboy Achila, but deeper Nimas, it wasn't a question of Riboy. As Torah language shouldn't pass my lips at all. So that's an example of something that he's delineating. And he presumably, again, we have to, it'll be worth getting into the Sugya, but it sounds like Rabban is trying to tell us, Rabban knew about the Sugya himself. And it sounds like he's saying that the Yisod of the whole sugya is Kedoshim Tivu. That's really what's driving it all, is need for the different degrees of nivul peh, at least some of them, are a violation of the Shem Tim. So there you have an example of something which is defined as being a blunt. But the other things, that's the whole point. The whole yisod of what he's saying is that living as a Jew, kind of part of the nuance of living as a thoughtful, sophisticated Jew, is there'll be rules and regulations that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me, and then I also have to figure out how to apply the values. And that will make me a much deeper Avod Hashem. There may be particular, and it may also be that the different things apply in different circumstances. So there are rules that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us across the board. If you have an employee, you got to pay him on time. Okay? Whatever the Avdaras are. Okay, thank you so much for stopping in. I look forward to your thoughts after. Yeah, so there may be things which part of the general aspect of this is going to apply. If half of it doesn't have rules, I can figure out how it applies different cases for different situations. I want to take a look, as I was saying before, and we'll respond to what you're saying as well, but we take a look at how he expands it. He jumped down a few lines. He does talk about Tahara versus Tumah as well. It's an interesting idea. Ibn Ezra talks about also the notion of a Jew avoiding Tumah, something that's really off of our radar screen. We're not zelcha to live in a time when that's relevant or possible. But it is worth pointing out, when you learn Gemara, you learn Mishnayos, you do come across this idea, especially in Chagiga and elsewhere, of Jews who lived on a higher level of literal Tahara. Jews who ate even not Tumah and Karbanos are not allowed to eat the Tumah. But there were Jews who ate everything. You know, ochel chulin b'tahara. Even in regular food, there wasn't kadosh, which technically you're allowed to eat even with the stomach. They tried to be as tahara as possible. Jews who ate chujus chulin b'tahara, or they ate their chulin, even al tahara sa'chumah, al tahara sa'kodesh. That's it. He says, what does that mean? Many of us would have said, it's a siyag. If I'm a kohen, I eat truma, I eat karbanos. So it's a siyag. I'll make sure if I always eat everything b'tahara, I won't mess up with the truma. Rabban Zim says it's not like a siyag, like a personal siyag, a personal exegol. It's more than that. There's something atzmuti about it. There's something inherent about it. To live a life to add to my level. To live with more tahara than is required is a sort of kedoshim tiyu. But that's, again, that's something that we should be zelcha. This mission will come back while Paraduma will have the option of living life with more literal tahara. We don't even have the option now. The other thing, we do have the option. Well, let's take a look. If you could jump down to number 18. V'zeh derech ha-Torah l'frot v'lechlol v'chayot v'zeh. This is a pattern of finding chumash. The Torah will give porate, will give protein, will be detailed, and then l'chlol to give the general picture as well. V'chayot v'zeh. To give the general category that's, you know, built from that which is similar to the detail. For instance, the course of Chumash, you have so many details, many little parshas kedoshim and elsewhere. So many details that govern the way in which we relate to other people in a business context. Masu matu means business. Lo sigzav, lo sonu. But you can't cheat, you can't steal, you can't dishonest weights and measures. You have to pay people on time. You can't withhold money. All the details. Omar v'chalal, the Torah later on, to give chumash devarim, gives me a general picture. V'asisa ha'yashar v'atov. I have to do what's straight and good. What does that mean? That's the kedoshim tiyu of b'nam ha'adera. That's the kedoshim tiyu of dinim ha'adera. Shiyachnes v'asei ha'yosher v'ha'ashvoya. The Torah is making it into a mitzvah's essay, being a person of integrity, and being a person who deals with other people in a straight and honest way. And being a person who, a part of Shavel puts on the bottom, Hashivaya sounds like Pshara. Being a person who seeks to compromise with others. Because with one of the ideas of Gemara, I derive different ideas from this very general, what does it mean to do that which is right and good, that which is straight and good? So one of the ideas of Gemara says, is Pshara. To seek to compromise. That comes from to do that which is, because the compromise doesn't mean 50-50, the compromise means to seek to do that which Yosher dictates. Maybe technically I owe you the money, but Yosher dictates that I owe you something. Yosher dictates you're entitled to something. The Chalif Nimashur Sadin, Lurat Sal Hader. Kasher Afarish, by Gil Makamu, we'll get to that Pasuk, get to Chamish Dvarim, well, we'll see more detail. There too, in response to Aziz's point, the Gemara has specific details that come from that also. The Gemara gives an example of Bar Metzra. Who's a Bar Metzra? Not that his father's name was Metzra. A Metzar is a, okay, Metzar can be straight, or Tsar. And a Metzar is also specifically a straight line which forms a boundary between two places. Sometimes a Mitzarim, one of the meanings of Mitzarim is boundaries. So especially in Aramaic, Bar Metzra is my boundary made. Meaning, let's say I'm selling a house. I'm selling, or more specifically, I have 20 acres of farmland in upstate New York. I plan to make aliyah, so I'm going to sell the farmland and take them liquidated and make terrorists as well. So, farmland's up for sale. Two people want to buy my farmland. One random person and the next door neighbor. The next door neighbor, if he gets this piece of farmland, he'll then be able to have one long field, combine his field and my field once he buys it. So Gemara says, if the fellow from the outside is offering me significantly more money, okay, I'm not afraid to lose. But if the neighbor is willing to match whatever the outside bids are, I'm expected to sell to the neighbor. Why? I don't owe him anything. He has no rights to my property. He doesn't own it. He wants to own it. Sure. So does someone else. It's mine. I can do whatever I want. I can decide to keep it. And I can sell it to whoever I want to, right? Wrong. If you want to keep it, call it come on. If you want to sell it, the Gemara says, and this is a Siman Shofar about Mitzvahs. That he has the right to demand. Why? The Gemara says, it's the right thing to do. You're not losing. So why not sell it to the person who will get much greater benefit from it? Again, a lot of details, but that's something which is expected. Not based on those sigzos or those sasho. He has no rights to it right now. He has no property rights right now, but that's yashos. To do the right thing, who expects, not only they will keep that technically won't do anything that's illegal, that too. And also, that overall, sort of the spirit of the law, which fills in sort of, you imagine like the letter of the law is like the skeleton. And the spirit of the law sort of puts the flesh on the bones. So not just I'm technically not doing anything wrong, but I'm doing what I'm living the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects me to live. That's in the area of Yisra Vahetra Kedoshim Tiyu, in the area of the Imamanis, it's a Sisa Yashar Vahatov. And finally, he says, in the area of Hilchos Shabbos in particular, it's fascinating. The Shabbos probably could have been included under Kedoshim Tiyu. Also, Rabban says the third time you find this, the Shabbos in particular, which maybe is a reminder of how profoundly important is Shabbos. The Chayim Be'ina Shabbos, Chayim Be'ina Shabbos also have Malachas Delav. Malacha is the Lav. Well, Sasek Malacha, and Lav with Karis and Skila. To need on Shabbos, or to write on Shabbos, or to carry out the ear on Shabbos, or to water the plants on Shabbos, or to drive the car on Shabbos, that's Malacha Shabbos. Rabban writes later, I believe it's actually this week's Parsha. Parsha Rabban. He says, is it? Yeah. It's at the bottom. Rabban writes, One can imagine a whole town, a whole Jewish shtetl, where the marketplace is bustling on Shabbos. You would walk through, you wouldn't know the difference. But technically, no one's doing malacha. There's an erev, or they're not carrying thing. No one's, they're writing receipts kalachariyah with the left hand, or backward, writing receipts backward with the elbow. And everything is being carried by the They've figured out a knage that everything they're doing is technically not Malacha Shabbos at the Raisa. But the marketplace is booming on Shabbos. Rabban says, do you think that's really Mutter Min HaTorah? He says, you're right, that's not, there's no Lav. No one's buying the Lav of Malacha. but they are in violation of the Aseh of Shabbosom. Because the Aseh of Shabbosom is this type of the spirit of the law. So for it to be Shabbosdik. Now, Ban says Shabbosdik is not just cute. Shabbosdik is not just Drabanah. Shabbosdik is Daraisa. It's not the law of Malacha, but that's the Aseh that puts the flesh on bones. And that kind of the very beautiful Rambam, we may have seen briefly earlier at the very beginning of the year, Rambam in Perek Chaf Aleph of Hilchos Shabbos. After going through all the Malachas Daraisa, all the Toldos Daraisa, he then goes through the Drabanahs. Perek Chaf Aleph begins the second round through all the Lamedes Malachas, to go through all the Drabanahs of Choresh, all the Drabanahs of Zoraya, all the Drabanahs of Kotzer. And it begins, Rambam begins the Perek with strangely. He began Perek Aleph by saying, there's a law not to do Malach on Shabbos. He begins Perek Chaf Aleph by saying, the mitzvah Aseh Tishpos, mitzvah Aseh Daraisa, and therefore the Chachamim forbade all the following things in Drabanahs. The Machi Mishnah says, what I miss? Tell me the mitzvah Aseh, and that's why there's also a Drabanah. Is it Daraisa Drabanah? Make it be one. And all the things Rambam lists, those are Drabanahs. The Gemara is pretty clear about the things. The Drabanahs. So what is this mitzvah Daraisa? So the Machi Mishnah says, no! The Rambam holds like the Ramban. That it's true that the letter of the law is the law of malachas. That's the law. If you didn't violate the letter of the law, you did not violate the law. There's no malchus, there's no skila, there's no karas. However, there's still a doraisa of tishbos, and here we'll wrap up by coming back to that point again. The doraisa of tishbos, which means I have to figure out how I'm going to make Shabbos Shabbosdik. I have to figure out how it's going to be the spirit of Shabbos, not only the letter of Shabbos. And if I don't do that, I haven't violated a law, but I have violated the Aseh. However, there could be 1,000 ways that I could think of to organize my Shabbos so that it'll be Shabbosdik. There are different things, different practices I could have picked up, and different things I could be careful about to ensure that I have a Shabbosdik of Shabbos. And I could have picked any one of Bnei HaTorah, any one of those 1,000 sets of, you know, ways of handling, conduct myself on Shabbos would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tishbos, Min HaKorah. Just like it's a mitzvah d'oraisa at the bench, but then I could have thought of 1,000 different nuskaos that would have captured, I could have written my own benching, it would capture all the critical themes, and I'll be yotzei Min HaTorah. And for the first, until Chazal sat down the nusach of Birkas HaMazon, the tefillah, I'm going to write Min HaTorah, mitzvah d'davin every day, and Min HaTorah, I have a lot of flexibility, 1,000 different ways I could formulate the davin. For the first 1,000 years of Jewish history, everyone davened every day the way they wanted to daven. You had to praise Hashem and ask for things and thank Him. But beyond that, you know, whatever you fill in the blanks, you say whatever you want to say. Until 1,000 years later, Ezra comes and says, it's time to establish, this is the way we're going to daven. Everyone has to say Shemoneh Esrei. You want to add more things, Givaldi, but everyone has to say Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei is a kiyum of the Doraisa. According to Rambam, there's a mitzvah to daven every day. Shemoneh Esrei is a kiyum of that Doraisa. But Min HaTorah, I could have used something else. So Chazal, Midrabanan, mandated, we wanted to make the Doraisa in the following way. Chazal mandated the Doraisa of benching, but we expect you to fulfill that Doraisa using the nusach that appears in your bencher. So when you say that, you are Mekayim Doraisa, with the need to say that as opposed to something else, some other benching, that's all the Mishabah. So the same Ramadi Mishnah says is true here by Shabbos as well. I have a need, Min HaTorah, to ensure that to live my Shabbos in a Shabbosic way. That's a need, Min HaTorah. There could be a lot of ways of accomplishing that goal, and any one of the 100,000 ways of accomplishing that goal would fulfill the Daraisa. But then at a certain point, and early days of Jewish history, people had more flexibility. You have to make sure that your Shabbos was Shabbosdik, but different people could accomplish that goal in different ways than with Makanda Daraisa. Until Chazal came along and began and said, look, we need to standardize things a little bit. There's a need for more standardization, so we're going to begin to make different Gezeiros Drabanan that will ensure fulfillment of the Daraisa. So the need to specifically avoid Kalach Aryad and avoid this Gezeira, that Gezeira, the need to do that specifically is only Drabanan. But in doing so, not only am I avoiding Yisroel Drabanan, I am Mekayin, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Tishbos. So this is an interesting interplay. And it goes, sort of goes to the heart of what these mitzvahs are all about. That's incredibly, incredibly, incredibly important. So many people. There are some people who will say this with Feirish, that no, I just have to check off the boxes. I need to, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this, I can't do that. Shite! I'm a halachic Jew. I will not do anything which is technically wrong. Many people won't articulate it quite as directly, but practically speaking, make a lot of life decisions on the basis of such a matrix. That basically, you know, I can't do X, Y, and Z. As long as I avoid X, Y, and Z, I haven't technically violated the din, I'm good. The Rabban is saying is you're missing so... You're not doing that. If that's how you're living, you're actually not fulfilling all of the halakha's requirements. And number two, you're missing the beauty of it. You're missing the point. And what a shame to be so... to live a life that's constrained in so many ways because I'm not going to violate any law, and to miss out so much of the value and pleasure that you could get from that sort of life. Because the value and the pleasure and the satisfaction, al hazeh, is going to come through actualizing it, through living a life that's powered by the values of halacha. So, and you should definitely be halachic Jews. And part of what the halacha demands is kedoshim tiyu. Part of what halacha demands is asiz yashvato. Part of what halacha demands is shabbos ovr. And now we go back to where we started. What's the value of precious? What's the value of precious? It's a mutter, it's mutter. What you mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants us. Sometimes in physicality, our mutter, but God just wants us to avoid it as much as possible. No. Does God want us to be monks? No. Are we better Jews if we're monks? No. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu does want us to do is to moderate, like with many things in life, where it's meant to go for the healthy middle path. We're not meant to practice self-abnegation and be monks until we cut ourselves off from Al Mazeh, nor are we meant to maximize Al Mazeh but not do anything which is technically yasa. We're meant to live lives of purpose, where the Gashmias, Rav Kook talks a lot, as do other Hasidic thinkers, about being Mekadosh L'Chomer, about engaging Gashmias, not cutting oneself off from Gashmias, but not just randomly engaging it purposefully, figuring out how this can become a part of Avos Hashem, which is why the rest of Perek Gimel of Hilchos Deos, after he talks about how Judaism does not think that monkhood is an ideal, the rest of Perek Gimel of Hilchos Deos is about B'chol Drechei Hadayim, and how I can take the mundane parts of my life and not leave them as mundane, but transform them into Divrei Kedusha through a sense of how it's furthering the goals of Avos Hashem. But that's going to come from hard work, hard mental work of learning and figuring out what lies behind the different dinim. What am I supposed to learn from Yeshiva B'Sukkah? What am I supposed to learn from Enfilas Lulav? What am I supposed to learn from Nisa Hamayim? What am I supposed to learn? What are their moral, ethical, religious principles that underlie Simchas Yantam? Well, the moral, ethical, religious principles, and we'll learn Maseches Gittin, many of us next year, we'll learn Maseches Baal Kama next year. So, I have to learn the details, and also have to figure out what the Torah trying to teach, what lessons, what themes is the Torah trying to teach me. And this, the learning deeply, the Baal Tahalacha and Machshava, gives me the opportunity to live and practice both the Halacha and as a Machshava. Yeah, Yasso.
Are we not really supposed to try to figure out how, why Hashem made the mitzvos? Like, is that where he's saying, trying to figure out why made the mitzvos, or just be like, are there other things I can learn from the mitzvos as well? Because we're finite and Hashem is infinite, so there's not really, you know.
That's definitely true. We never assumed that we would figure out the whole picture. That's why the Sefer, I believe that's why the Sefer Chemech, when he talks about the Tamei HaMitzvos, he always uses the term Misharashi HaMitzvah. Some of the Sharashi HaMitzvah include the following. He never wants to argue that he has figured it all out.
They speculate these are probably some of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intention. Sefer HaTzchinuch also stresses, he doesn't think he's actually able to give you, like, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reason, but Sharashi HaMitzvah, pardon me, Levi writes at least one place that Sharashi HaMitzvah means what sort of impact is the mitzvah supposed to make on me? Because probably this mitzvah, we can figure out, this mitzvah is supposed to impact my personality, help me grow my personality a certain way, supposed to impact my attitudes about life, about some part of life in a certain way, supposed to make me more attuned to other people in a certain way, make me more attuned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a certain way. Like, how is it supposed to change me? How is it supposed to change my behavior, my attitudes, my feelings, my thoughts, my personality, my character, I should say. But that's really what we're focusing on. Not sort of abstract Kabbalah of what's being accomplished in a more ethereal way by mitzvahs. How are the mitzvahs supposed to shape me? Acher pulls the Meshachna Levav, so the Sefer HaKadosh reminds us time and again. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to just, halacha is not just to think about certain ideas, halacha is to live, to do certain ideas. Because that shapes us much more than just abstract thought. But at the same time, we shouldn't go to the other extreme and just do things, but not think the ideas. We're supposed to be doing ideas. We're supposed to be living ideas and ideals. So the sweet spot is to be actively doing Maaseh Mitzvah with an increasingly deep understanding of what the themes of those Maaseh Mitzvah are, so that I can really, by doing the mitzvahs, I'm doing the mitzvahs, and also the ideas of the mitzvahs are getting to my kishkas. The more I appreciate what Yeshiva Sukkah is about, the more a week spent in a sukkah it can shape me. The more I appreciate the nuance, the halachic nuance, how many details go into a sukkah, which in this coming sukkahs, you have a far greater appreciation, just beside a din, of what it is. That already heightens your engagement with the sukkah. And then, if I'm also attuned to what Pesukos Hoshavti is supposed to be telling me, so then it's mamish, a profound experience. That's a transformative experience. He spends a week living inside the tzil of the Mehem Mezuzah, inside the shade of the Muna. I appreciate Alpidin. I appreciate Machshava. Wow, and Mirz Hashem for many, many, many years to come. But that with increasing every time. With an upward spiral of increasing profundity every time you come around that time of the year. So that's transformative. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. As what the Nidu refers to, the Kesher Amitz, the powerful connection between Maisa and Machshava. That's what he's talking about. Maybe some other time. There's a lot more talk about Kedoshim. There's another whole Ramban in the packet we're not going to touch. Very, very Kedai. He puts together... looking at the way the Torah is presenting the flow of mitzvah shebidam lechaveru, as Ramban in Perikei Tes Pasuk Yud-Zayin, we're not going to look at that now. But it's certainly kedai if you have time this afternoon, or if you have time Tuesday afternoon, take a look at this Ramban. Definitely very, very kedai. I will tell you very briefly, I left you hanging with the Shimon Shkop. Shimon Shkop goes in a whole new way. Shimon Shkop says, Kedoshim to you, what's Kedoshim to you all about? He says, he has another medrash that says, Yachol Kamoni. I might think that you should be as Kadosh as God. Tamu Lomar, Ki Kadosh Ani. Now the Torah says, I'm holy, and that this medrash understands the key as a however. You should be Kedoshim, but Ki Kadosh Ani. Kedushasi, says the medrash, Lamal Mekedushasem. My Kedush is higher than your Kedush. So Rav Shimon says, what does the Medrash think Kedusha means? That there was a Hava Mina, that a human being should be as Kadosh as God. Kamash Mina, possibly tell me, you should be Kadosh, but not to the same extent that Kadosh Baruch Hu is. The Precious? They don't have a Hava Mina, you should be as Parish from as Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's physically impossible. Kadosh Baruch Hu has no needs. Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence is imperative. He's not physical, and he's not dependent in any sense on anything. So of course we can't be as Parish from the world as Kadosh Baruch Hu is. It's an absurd idea. It's not a Havamina. It's not a serious Havamina. What do you need Kikadosh Ani for? So he says it must be that this Medrash, that Medrash doesn't think that means Precious. He doesn't speak out quite this way, but that's the way I would understand him. He doesn't talk about the Precious, but I think that's what he's driving at. That maybe the Sifra that Ramban quoted understands the Kedusha means precious. But the Medrash that he's quoting, which I believe is of the Yikar Rabbah, it can't mean that. Apparently that Medrash had a different take, and he says, this is something to chew on, he thinks, if Shimon develops the idea, the Kedusha, at least according to that Medrash, means caring for others, altruism. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only cares for others, he has no needs. So I might think we should be Kadosh, meaning we should be other-directed people. We shouldn't be narcissistic, self-centered people. We have to care deeply about the people around us. You might think, you may know people who don't take care of themselves at all. They care so much about others, they don't even take care of themselves. Maybe you've come across such people, well-meaning, and there's something beautiful about it. There's so muster to other people. Like, you know, that stereotypical image of the Jewish mother, and I'll sit in the dark, just, you know, it's only about others. There's something beautiful about it, but taken to an extreme, there could be something unhealthy about it. And if you're not taking care of yourself, you've all heard that safety speech, right, on the plane? If you pay attention, the deep you cite is in that safety speech. One of them is, if you're with a kid, right, if the oxygen comes down, you have to take care, you put your own oxygen on first. And then you put oxygen on the person next to you. Sometimes you got to take care of yourself first. And so if you study first aid, on any level, they will tell you, the first thing you do is you scope out the situation for your own safety, and then for the safety of others. In part because if you don't take care of yourself, then you're not going to be much use to anyone else. So Rabbi Shimon says, that's what this Medrash is teaching us. We have to be Kedoshim. This, according to Rabbi Shimon, that Medrash means we have to be altruistic. We have to be other-directed. We shouldn't be self-centered people. But Yahol Kamoni, I might think the ideal is for a Jew to be totally other-directed and never just to, never I care about myself a little bit. Wouldn't it be even better if I would just care about other people? Tamar Lama, no. Ki Kadosh Ani, Kedushasi Lama Mekedushashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally other-directed. Human beings should be very other-directed, but not 100% other-directed. It's like a whole, he talks a very, very beautiful Hakdamah Kedai to learn, whether you come from a Shemesh Kapz town or not. It's Kedai to learn Shari Yosher also. Which, I mean, you guys are and or will be capable of learning the Sefer as you progress in learning. Definitely, it's a treat to learn Shari Yosher. It could be a difficult treat that takes a lot of work. And like most real treats in life, it takes work to appreciate the treat. But even before you start Shari Yosher, to learn to take the Hakdama off the shelf, it's in column 3 in the Beis Medrash downstairs by the Rosh Hashiva Sfarim, by the Achronei Sfarim. It's a gorgeous course, like that 2-3-4 page Hakdama. He talks about, like, how does a person develop this? How do I deal with ego? How do I deal with people who are naturally, most people are naturally born self-centered, which has its advantages, but to an extreme is not good. He talks about, basically, your shaman, your dharm, how does a person sort of, they have a lot of insight. How does a person grow to become other, to be a man for others? How do I grow to be a person who's living for other people in a healthy, balanced, human, appropriate way. Kedushas Lamav, Kedushas Hashem, not the extent of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. These are two very, very important things to think about. Kedusha as precious, Rashi, and then the Ramban's whole approach, that it's the spirit of the law, and having living, engaging all mazeh in a balanced way, and that's an expectation that Kodesh Baruch Hu has of, and then Rav Shimon's approach of being an other-directed person. And being a person who's for whom caring about other people in a deep way, really caring about what would make other people happy, what other people's needs are, is a central, not the only central, but a central part of my life. That's very much what a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not just the flimishers are in. It doesn't mean I'm there right now. Okay. But that's part of the expectation a Kodesh Baruch Hu has for me, is to grow into that type of person. These are important ideas. To take away from a partial kedushim.